Episode 150, Top 10 All-Time Favorite Sci-Fi Things.
Top 10?
I know, it's big.
Top 10?
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
And I am Ben DiBono, and we are back once again, another episode here at the Sci-Fi Christian.
And hopefully you took our advice and listened to the last episode, which was a time loop, but it was a time loop of our first episode.
A good time loop.
And so it kind of set the stage for this episode. So we're basically doing the exact same thing, but here we are 150 episodes later. A lot has changed, Ben. And look, I'm wearing...
You're wearing an Epic Life church shirt.
Oh, Epic Life t-shirt, because we really owe Epic Life for helping us come together as podcasters.
Yeah.
Back when we first started recording, I had just become a youth director. You had... You were an intern.
Yeah, something like that.
You were a pastoral intern. We were both in school at Northwestern. Now you're going to be graduating in a couple of weeks. I graduated last year.
Yeah. Well, I graduated last year, too. My second master's in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, yeah. What else was different?
We went on a missions trip together. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And so, and I was much less...
We got
less...
that epic board picture.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was much less educated when it came to sci-fi things.
Well, we've learned a lot in the last couple of years.
But... How much has my list actually changed? That's the real question.
Mine's changed a lot.
Because we have in front of us both our this year's list and our last time list. So like from episode one, we have our then current favorites. And it would be kind of fun to talk about this. So this is kind of a remembering episode. Kind of looking back, a tribute, if you will. Just to kind of see where have we come from and where are we going from here.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that's a good intro. Let's just do this.
We're getting to it.
And what would a countdown episode be without...
Wait, we gotta have that music.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian Countdown.
On the Sci-Fi Christian.
Featuring Ben DiBono.
And Matt Anderson.
I like how you play a different one every time. We got a few different takes of it.
Yeah, we do. So here's what happened. We were going to just do a top five like we did last time. But as I was putting it together, I realized it was a little tough. So we actually have top 10. And that will be a little bit fun. We had a twist to our original episode. So it's not exactly the same. But yeah, there's been some huge shifts. And then some that have stayed exactly in the same place.
Yeah.
So how do you want to do this? Should we do the current favorite first and then go to all-time favorites?
Right. What I'll do... is I have our original lists in front of me.
Okay.
So when I say your top five, Matt, I'll tell you what your original was. You tell what your new one is.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can discuss both.
Perfect. And I also have some honorable mentions. You also have honorable mentions?
Yeah, we didn't do honorable mentions back in the day.
Whoa.
So,
crazy.
Yeah, we just have the straight up list.
Perfect. So let's start with current favorites. Ben, I'll let you start. Number five.
My original was the Wheel of Time series.
Okay.
My...
Wait, let's give a... Maybe we should get some updates, because since then, the series has switched. The series has finished.
Yeah.
And back in the old episode, you were anticipating this final book.
I know. Yeah, it was good. I mean, I think that now that Wheel of Time is done, like I've mentioned on the show, is a series I can't really be objective about because I have a lot of nostalgia attached to it. I do not necessarily recommend going and reading it. I think that it's too long. You know, there's too... Not so much that it's long, but that it's too drawn out. Mm-hmm. I think that there's too many problems with the series, but because of what it has meant to me growing up with it, I loved it.
Good.
So
at the time, why was it your current favorite back then?
Because I was anticipating the final book. It was like the fury was building.
So what's your current top five?
My current top five is the BioShock video game series.
No idea.
You never heard of BioShock?
I've heard of it, but I don't know what the point is.
Yeah, so the third BioShock game just came out, and I had actually only played part of the first one. So I thought, I owned one and two, and I thought, well, I'll go back and play those now. So I'm in the middle of two right now, and this game is awesome.
What's the plot?
The plot is it takes place in kind of a dystopian universe or world. Well, not really world, a dystopian city that's built under the ocean called Rapture. Mm-hmm. And it's basically modeled after kind of Ayn Rand's... Atlas Shrugged universe, but in a very negative way. So this entire society has collapsed and everything. And you can get these things called plasmids that give you kind of superpowers and everything as it goes on. So awesome story.
Nice.
Great fun. Great series of video games. So I am thoroughly enjoying that. We'll probably even spend the money to get the third one once I finish too. Yeah.
Nice. Good.
All right, Matt. Your original number five.
Uh-huh.
Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably just watched it. I mean, that's still a movie I have on my shelf now, which is saying something because I don't go and purchase a lot of movies these days. So yeah. I do still like it, but it's nowhere on any of my lists. So good movie, worth checking out. I think Michael Cera is hilarious in most things he does. But yeah, not like
it wouldn't be your top five current. Wouldn't be your top five all time.
It's not even in my honorable mentions.
Okay,
so my current top five is a more classic show that I've been catching up on Netflix, Twilight Zone. So
I thought I didn't hear Zone at first. I just heard Twilight.
No, Twilight Zone. Ooh. And so I've been slowly trying to watch these old episodes, and they're not boring. Sometimes when I'm watching older material, I get bored. I actually like this. So yeah. I'm not blown away yet, like I know a lot of people are, but I'm still in the first season, kind of slowly working my way through. But I'm enjoying it.
Excellent. I have not watched. Are they on Netflix?
Yes, the whole series is on Netflix.
Maybe I'll check them out. They're all standalone though, aren't
they? Yeah, everyone is standalone.
Yeah,
but there's some creative ideas, and I think a lot of what we've seen now in movies and TV have drawn inspiration from Rod Serling. So
yeah. I don't know if I'll check it out, but maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
Okay, Ben. Number four.
You're going to be surprised to hear what my original was.
I do. I remember it because I was listening to it. Fringe.
Okay. Fringe.
Yeah.
Which.
Wow.
Yeah. What a difference a couple of years makes.
Well, remember, this was January of 2011, and it was May of 2011 that it was like the worst season finale either of us had ever seen.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
And I quit watching at that point. Well, I watched a couple more episodes in season four, and then I just
went downhill from about this point.
Yeah.
So
now the one thing I do have to say listening to the original episode is I said this show needs to only run 4 to 5 seasons.
And
Ben was right.
Ben was right. Ran exactly 5 seasons.
But I jumped ship not long after. I was praising this show through the roof on the first episode. Yeah. I don't know what was wrong with me. It's nowhere close to any of my lists. Fringe had a few good runs in it here and there, but overall that show not good.
Okay.
Don't watch it. It kind of sucks.
What's your current? Wait, I'll back up a little bit. It's not great.
No.
Fringe is not a great show. I was captivated by some of the early seasons, but it got worse and worse. The last season did something interesting where they did a time jump and told a new story. And they basically just said, all right, you're giving us one more season. We'll forget about everything that's happened so far. We're going to jump into a new time. And there's callbacks to the previous season, so it's not like they're unimportant, but... they had a short 13 episode final season that wrapped it up in a mediocre way.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And too much fluff in that show.
I honestly think it peaked at season two. Season one was pretty good. Season two was very good. And then I think it went downhill after that.
Yeah. Too many standalones though, even in seasons one and two, too much fluff. If that show had had just 13 episode seasons all the way through, could have been a lot better.
I agree. But Ben is right.
Listen to me.
So my current
number four is The Chronicles of Narnia, which I am reading with my daughter.
Yes.
We are on The Magician's Nephew.
My favorite book.
Yeah, it's so good.
Well, my favorite Narnia book.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's probably, I still think I would put Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe first, but I'm gaining a new appreciation for this series as I read it through the eyes of a child.
That's good.
And I'm loving it. Yeah, it's so much fun to... read them to my children. So, Matt, someday should you have Matt Juniors running around, I would strongly recommend you read Narnia to them.
And how old is Allie?
She is 4.
And she has a good grasp of what's going on?
Yeah, but she's crazy smart.
Yeah, she's crazy smart for a 4-year-old.
Yeah.
So what age would you actually recommend people reading to their kids?
Probably 5 or 6. You could start on them. I mean, she's busy. What she's doing now is like she's completely plagiarizing Narnia and writing her own chapter books based on what's going on. So, you know, in Magician's Nephew, they touch the yellow ring and they disappear. So in her chapter book, it always starts with 4 children because that's Lucy, Peter, Susan, Edmund. And then one of them touches the yellow ring and they get sucked into Narnia. And
so it's actually Narnia? She writes about Narnia?
I don't know if they're actually supposed to be Narnia, but yeah, they're thinly veiled plagiarized versions of Narnia, but it's awesome.
So you're daughter is writing fan fiction
Totally.
And you are against fan fiction.
Hey, I'm against. I am for whatever my 4-year-old wants to write. She's writing chapter books at 4 years old, which is awesome. And they're illustrated. So what she does is she draws the pictures, and then she makes me or Annie sit down and write the words, and she dictates it out to
us. That's awesome.
It's so cool.
That's really good.
So your original number 4, Matt.
Yes.
The Avengers.
Oh, okay.
And you were referencing not just the movie.
But like, yeah. All the lead up, all the heroes and all that stuff. Yeah, this is still, interestingly, this is a surprise. I didn't put it on my current list, but it should be.
No.
Because I do like all these movies. I'm pumped for Iron Man this weekend.
With your Bible study group.
Sorry. I don't know how I left this off the list. It definitely, I still love the Avengers and I love the lead up to all these different movies. I think at this point, though, I was crazy excited for Avengers to come out. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it didn't live up to the full potential, but I still really like it.
Yeah.
So my new number 4, you're going to hate, I know.
I know.
But my new number 4, again, a classic TV show. I've been trying to catch up on Netflix. It's a show that, whereas with Twilight Zone, I said, I don't really find myself getting bored. There are points in this show where I'm getting bored, but I feel like I have to soldier through it.
Is it Star Trek, the original series?
I have to, because it's a classic, and it is Star Trek, the original series, but also a little Next Generation. So I just put Star Trek, but I'm basically talking about the original series with some Next Generation movies, because Netflix recently had a bunch of the Next Generation movies and the original series movies. So I watched Wrath of Khan. I watched Search for Spock. I watched the Next Generation movie Insurrection and Nemesis, and I've been watching the original episodes from the original series.
I know,
and so
those are terrible.
They're pretty boring. And
they are.
It took me, because sometimes you know how you and I will start a movie and maybe watch a half hour and then come back later.
Yeah.
Well, these are only 40 to 50 minute episodes, and there was one that I probably went back 6 times because I couldn't keep watching it.
It's I've tried to watch the original series too, and it's so horrible.
So, as I say, this is my number 4 of what I'm currently into. It's more of like, I am interested in it, and so it's keeping me coming back, but I kind of feel like I have to just experience it at one point.
Yeah.
Like, I can't be the host of the Sci-Fi Christian without watching some original series.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can.
Okay, number 3.
My original number 3 was graphic novels, especially Fables.
Yeah, so where are you at now with that Fables?
I haven't caught up recently. I'm probably a year or so behind. I don't know. I still like graphic novels, but it takes a lot of money and time to catch up with them because they're constantly coming out and everything. So I am not caught up, and it's been quite a while since I've read any graphic novels.
And you may remember that when you would buy them, you would just loan them to me.
That's true.
And now you buy digital copies.
Yeah, I haven't even done that for a long time.
And so I've stopped reading graphic novels when you stopped buying them.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah, and so I still like Fables, but I haven't read any for quite a while.
Long time.
Yeah. But since this first episode, we were talking about graphic novels, and I admitted I mostly read superhero comics, and you said, well, there's lots of other things out there, and I had not
That's
read
That's true.
And since then, both you and I have been exposed to tons of different non-superhero great graphic novel stories.
In fact, in the original episode, you were like, don't spoil Fables for me. I'm going to start reading it.
Yeah. So now we've read a ton of it. So that's fun. What's your new number 3?
My new number 3 is the novel Anathem by Neal Stephenson. Neal Stephenson, great writer. I shouldn't say that because I read his most famous book is a cyberpunk novel called Snow Crash, and I read that a couple of years ago and did not like it at all.
Mm-hmm.
But then people love him, so I've been like, I got to try another one and everything, and so I picked up Anathem when it was on sale for the Kindle for $1. I'll give that a try. And then I was talking to our good friend Dave Johnson, because he's a big Neal Stephenson fan. He's like, don't read Anathem. It's the worst Neal Stephenson book. It's so boring.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Dave, you're wrong.
Oh.
I love it.
Wow.
It is long. It is a slow read, but it is fantastic.
Wow. And so
completely hooked on it.
So is this a series or what?
No, it's a one-shot
That's
book.
Good.
But the basic premise is it takes place not on Earth, but on a planet that's kind of like Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's centered around a monastic community. But unlike our monastic communities that are focused on religion, this world has monastic communities focused on science and theoretical physics.
So they are quiet and they retreat to
Yes.
To develop new sciences.
Exactly. Well, yeah. And then so they live apart from the world. But it's really cool how the monastic community is set up, because they have like four different ranks mm-hmm. where you can be a I forget what they call it, but somebody who has a 1-year commitment, a 10-year commitment, a 100-year commitment, or a 1,000-year commitment.
They live that long?
Well, no, but they accept new people into their community. So the way it works is, if you're in the 1-year, your gates open up every single year for 10 days. If you're in the 10-year, your gates open up every decade for 10.
What gates? What do you mean?
Like, they have gates to the outside world.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, they're completely cut off from the outside world. And on it goes up. So there's a group of these monastic community where nobody's ever been outside the walls for 1,000 years, and they only accept brand new born children. So who have had no exposure to the rest of the world. So the idea is that they're sealing themselves off to pursue science without outside influence, but they have different levels of how much influence they accept, whether it's annual or millennial. And so really cool ideas and everything. And then, of course, stuff starts to happen, which I won't give away, but awesome book.
Shenanigans?
Yeah, there's some shenanigans.
Okay. Well, good. I like when you add books to the list, because a lot of the books you mentioned I've never heard of before. Yeah. And so it kind of keeps me in the loop on what's going on out there. I'm realizing now, as I'm looking at my number
three,
that I do kind of feel, I hate to admit this, but I feel underwhelmed about some of my current favorites. And I think speaking to what is really out there right now.
Yeah.
And
Well, do you want me to give you your original number three? Your original number three was Star Trek.
I knew it, because I had been watching some DVD sets.
Especially, you mentioned the time travel and alternate reality
episodes. Yeah, so I wasn't watching the episodes straight through, just collections that were like specifically alternate universe episodes or something like that.
Right.
Okay. Right now, my number three is Arrow. But as I'm looking at the list, I like the show Arrow, but I don't love the show Arrow. But I think that this is really speaking to, like, what I'm actually consuming isn't that great. And as we've been talking about possibly cutting back, like, I could drop this show and it wouldn't hurt me that bad. It's based on the Green Arrow superhero. It's
I say keep Arrow, drop Star Trek.
Okay.
That's my recommendation.
So Arrow has been interesting, but not amazing. But it is a show that I continually want to keep going back to. So I don't know. There's another show that I ended up making an honorable mention, but I still also enjoy, as Once Upon a Time. There's not a lot of amazing TV on right now.
That I
can view on Hulu.
That's true, because you got Game of Thrones. It's amazing. But even outside of the sci-fi fantasy world, I honestly think, and this might be sci-fi blasphemy, Mad Men is the best show on TV these days.
But wait, what about Breaking Bad?
Better than Breaking Bad. It's better than Game of Thrones.
I don't think it is, because I'm caught all the way up to Mad Men up until the first episode of this season that we're right in. So what season is it right now?
Six.
So I've seen the first 2 hours of season six, and then that they put that on the website, and I haven't seen anything past that.
Yeah.
I think it's good, but not the best. Breaking Bad is the best.
There is no show better written than Mad Men.
Why? What's your argument for that?
Well, I mean, you can argue that, and I think you can make a good point, that Breaking Bad's more entertaining. And something like Game of Thrones is entertaining, but in terms of sheer character work, in terms of their attention to detail, in terms of their long-form storytelling with bringing back incidents, their thematic work, nothing is comparable to Mad Men.
I wonder if we should do an episode on the AMC shows, even though it's not sci-fi.
Yeah, they go from really good to really bad in a hurry. Yeah. You got Mad Men and Breaking Bad, which are awesome, and then Walking Dead, which is utter crap.
There's others, though, that we haven't ever talked about, right? Like, isn't there one like
The Killing or something like that? Yeah, I haven't seen it. Yeah. Hell on Wheels is another one.
Have you seen that?
No.
I heard that's good.
Yeah.
Should we check it out on Netflix?
Yeah, we could check it out.
Yeah, let's come back to that. We'll do an episode on AMC shows.
Yeah, I need a new show to watch, because I just finished Oz, which, don't watch Oz.
Why?
First 3.5 seasons are really, really good.
Okay.
And after that, like, it invents a new way to jump the shark in almost every single episode. It's unreal how quickly and how determinedly that show goes into the toilet.
Did you finish it, or did you say, I'm done?
I did finish it.
How many seasons?
I'm so mad that I finished it.
How many seasons?
Six.
And you watched all of it?
Well, there are 8-episode seasons, except for season 4 that has 16 episodes.
Okay.
So short seasons, which is good. But there was like a couple storylines I was still invested in. I was like, I really want to see all those pan out, but they were just lame. And so I'm really mad at myself for finishing it. I didn't follow my own advice.
So Arrow, I could take it or leave it, though. And it's my number 3. When we get to 2 and 1, I'm actually excited about these. But for 3, 4, and 5, I'm interested in continuing, but not excited, which is sad that these are my current favorites.
You need to watch more Doctor Who instead.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, just I'm realizing as we're talking through this list, not to be depressing, but I'm not consuming things I really like. I need to cut back on what I'm consuming.
Yeah. Well, or at least find some good stuff, because like all five of mine, plus my two runners up, I'm super excited about and I love them.
Oh, wow. The current list was much harder for me to come up with than the all-time favorite list.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do your number two.
My original number two was a movie called Ink, which is a fantastic movie.
I finally saw it.
Yeah, and what did you think?
Liked it a lot.
Yeah. Only reason it's not on my list is I wouldn't say I'm currently into it.
Yeah.
In the sense I haven't watched it for a long time.
Is it an honorable mention on your all-time favorite?
No.
Okay.
No, I wouldn't put it all-time, but it's a really good movie.
Okay.
And I super enjoy it. My original, or my current number two, Doctor Who and Torchwood.
Doctor Who.
That sounds a little dirty. I stuttered a bit there.
Okay, so
Doctor Who and Torchwood. Yeah.
Why together? Why not separate?
Well, because they're linked together. Okay. And one's a spinoff of the other. So Torchwood wouldn't make the list if it wasn't for Doctor Who.
Okay. How far are you in Doctor Who right now? What season?
Season 4, and I just finished season 2 of Torchwood.
Wow. Okay.
That's so good. I absolutely love the show. I can't wait to be caught up.
Dang. I mean, is this like a Buffy thing where I didn't like it at first and I'm going to get into it?
I think so.
Are you sure?
I think you've got to stick to it. Stick to your guns.
Oh, man, and really dive in. It's not that good.
It's what?
Are you going to go back and watch the early old Doctor?
I am, yeah.
With like Tom Baker and.
Yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of Tom Baker, a little trivia for you.
Yeah.
Do you know that he played Puddleglum in the BBC's version of The Silver Chair?
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
A little Doctor Who extravaganza.
Good. So, well, Doctor Who. I'm excited to be into it when everybody else is.
You've just got a soldier on.
Dang, it's tough.
One episode a night, you can do it.
Remember how long it took me to get through the 13-episode season of Buffy?
I do, because in our very first episode, 2.5 years ago, you said that you had just watched episode 3 of Buffy.
Oh my gosh, and I just had watched, I'm on episode 3 of Doctor Who right now.
Wow, so 2.5 years from now, you'll be loving Doctor Who.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
All right, Matt, your original number two was Fringe.
Yes, Fringe. We already talked about it. It is not even on my all-time favorite list. It's not a current favorite. It's a show that I own all the seasons of except for the most recent one, because I started buying it, and then it's like, oh, I kind of have to complete my collection. But
no.
And actually, so I just loaned them to some people that I've been watching them. So I had opened season one, but I had never opened seasons 2, 3, or 4.
Yikes.
So I took the plastic off to be able to give it to somebody to watch.
Yikes.
So yeah. Fringe, not a winner. I would recommend it to anybody.
No, it's not a good show. It's a show with some good things in it, but not a good show.
I do like alternate universes, though, so I loved that feature of it. So I owed it to my...
You know what show has alternate universes?
What?
Doctor Who.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
No, he just travels through space and time.
Oh, are you sure?
That's what it looks like.
I'll wait till you get to season 2.
He just went to the future.
Yeah, I know.
And he saw the end of the world.
I know, that's pretty cool. And you got the lady who was all stretched out the last two.
That was gross.
Yeah.
And then there was a tree person.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff happening.
And is episode 3 the one where they go back to Charles Dickens?
Yeah, it's not, because you know how the end of every episode shows a preview?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to be like old timey.
Yeah.
Is that a good one?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It looks so stupid.
Oh, you have to embrace the cheesiness of Doctor Who. It is cheesy, but it's awesome.
So my current favorite two, I can actually start to get excited
about.
All right.
So my excited Matt.
Number 1 and 2, I'm excited about Angel.
Really?
I like Angel.
You finally like Angel.
Not a lot, but I like it because not as much as Buffy.
Yeah.
But because it's connected, I'm just now starting to get to the point where, because how I'm viewing them, I do have a viewer's guide, but I haven't been sticking to it exactly.
Yeah.
And so I've been basically just doing 4 episodes, you know, basically one disc at a time. So 4 episodes of Buffy, 4 episodes of Angel. There's been a couple times now where it's like, I'd like to continue watching Angel, but we got to switch a disc. So that's a good sign to me.
Now, just be prepared. End of Angel season 2 is terrible.
Okay, well, that's where I'm heading. I'm almost there now.
Okay. Don't give up on the show because of the last few episodes. It gets really, really bad.
Okay.
But then it gets good again in season 3.
So Angel, I'm actually excited about.
Yeah.
It's not near as good as Buffy, but it is better than I had thought it was previously.
That's good.
It
made your number 2.
Number 1, Ben.
You and I actually had the same number 1 originally.
What was it?
Joss Whedon shows.
Oh, good. Well, this is still something I love.
Which, I think in your case, you just meant
at that
Firefly
point,
and was, Dollhouse.
Yeah, I had not, and I
and three episodes of
and Dr. Horrible I'd seen.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
what's your number one though?
Well, let's see. I would still say that there might be some Joss Whedon on my all time, but I'm not, you know, watching it now, so that's why it's not on the list. But my number one now, The Iliad. I am reading
The Odyssey?
No, no, not The Odyssey. I'm gonna read that one next, but The Iliad.
What is that? Oh wait. Homer? This is Homer, right?
Yeah.
They're not the same thing?
No.
Tell me about The Iliad versus The Odyssey.
They're two separate poems.
Both by Homer?
Yeah.
For some reason, I've always thought they were the same.
They are not.
I'm going to do a little Google while you do this.
Oh, my gosh. That's a little sad that you didn't know that, actually.
Well, you're a literature major. I was a lowly...
I'm an English major.
I was a lowly communication major.
These weren't
major.
English.
Communication
They're
major.
Or Greek.
But you had to read a lot.
Yeah, so I'm reading I think the translation's by a guy named Ian Johnston. It's more recent, so it's very readable.
Oh, you're reading a translation? Lame.
Well, you and I can't read classical Greek. We can only read biblical Greek.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so take that.
Tell me about what are the differences between the Iliad and the Odyssey?
They're two different stories.
Yeah, no, I get it. So tell me about like what happens in one. Like, okay, okay. I'll tell you something and you tell me which one it happened in.
Okay.
Okay. The face that sailed 1,000 ships.
That would be the Iliad.
Oh, good. And then the sirens.
Odyssey.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Okay. Trojan horse.
Neither, actually.
That was made up later.
It's part of the Siege of Troy, but it doesn't take place. Yeah, I think it's referenced in the Odyssey, but it the Iliad does not include the Trojan horse.
Achilles.
The Iliad.
Oh, good. Okay. And then the Cyclops.
The Odyssey.
Okay. I'm starting to see a difference.
Yeah.
Oh, so they're totally different. So
the Iliad is about the Siege of Troy.
Is it? Who's the main character in the Odyssey? Homer, right?
No, Homer's the writer.
But who's the main character?
Odysseus.
Odysseus and Penelope.
Yeah.
Yes, I know them.
But Odysseus is also in the Iliad.
What does he do in that one?
He's fighting for the Achaeans.
Which are not the Troyans.
No. he's part of the Siege of Troy.
Which one came first?
The Iliad.
So that's the prequel.
Yeah. So to speak. I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
I just kind of always lumped them together in my head.
Wow. You got to read these, man.
Because they're both by Homer.
These are like the ultimate sci-fi fantasy books.
I wouldn't say ultimate.
Well, yes, they are. I mean, it's like this is the original.
Is Perseus in either of these?
Perseus? No. I think he's a god, though.
What about the centaur?
You're thinking of Paris?
No. Is there a centaur?
I don't think so.
I think I'm mixing up some of my Greek mythology.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Iliad. Cool.
Yeah.
Super cool, man.
Super cool. Would you like to?
Why are you getting? Why are you into this now? What's making you?
I'm rereading it.
Why?
I just feel it's good for my soul. You know, it's good to expose yourself to great literature.
I've been thinking about reading Paradise Lost for the first time.
You should. I mean, you've heard of C.S. Lewis's rule that for every new book you read, you should read an old book.
I've never heard of that.
And so I think that's very true, that you know, we consume all this modern stories, modern media. Mm-hmm. I think it's also very important to consume old stuff.
I read the Bible.
Right.
It's pretty ancient.
I don't anymore because I'm a Catholic.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
Well, you read some.
Okay, just everybody,
I'm joking. That's a joke.
Please don't send me emails. Anyway, your number one, Buffy.
What was my number one? Oh, you said it was...
It was Joss Whedon shows.
My number one is Buffy, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing else I'm watching right now that I like that much.
Wow.
Yeah, finally.
It's really shot high in your mind.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. Let's see. I'm in the middle of season 4 right now, actually almost towards the end.
When are you in season 5?
Oh, wow. Great. Great news. Yeah. So I'm in the end of season 5. Things are, I just saw, and I won't talk about what happens in this episode, but there was an episode called The Body.
Yeah.
And it is probably one of the best episodes of any show I've ever seen.
Totally.
Like, and what it made me feel.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
That's such a good episode.
Well, right now, I've already started thinking I want to start, like, I should have been keeping track all along. We have to do a top 5 Buffy episodes when
I finish. Definitely.
As like a celebration of it finally being over.
Yeah. Which I don't always remember them off their titles, but I could remember them if I...
Well, we could just scan through and find out. So we could do a top 5 episode, top 5 Angel, top 5 Buffy. So Angel continues after Buffy goes off the air, is that correct?
Yes.
For 1 year or how long?
1 year.
I don't want any spoilers, but does Buffy appear ever in that last season?
No.
That sucks.
But Spike does.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. In fact, Spike is a cast member of the last season.
Okay. Why would... it seems like they can't continue that show without Buffy also existing. So there must be... So now you've seen that season 8 of Buffy, which is graphic novel only.
Yeah. Not as good.
Okay, so that exists in the same universe. And just in case listeners don't know, season 7 is the last televised season.
Yeah.
And season 8 is all comic books.
Yes.
So can you see how season 8 would run parallel to the last season of Angel?
It would take place after that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. So, I don't know. I guess... So right now I'm into Buffy. That's my current favorite.
All right.
Good. Do we want to have any sort of like lull, like a break between now that we're going into the all-time favorite?
Well, we got to do our runners-up. So that can be our break.
That was a good lull. Okay, go ahead.
Two runners-up, Game of Thrones, which, you know, I didn't necessarily rank my currents by preference so much as which ones do I feel more into at the moment. Because obviously Game of Thrones, you know, I like it better than Bioshock and all that. It didn't make my top five just because it's been going on, you know, for so long. So it's not like I'm not super, super excited about it. But certainly enjoying doing the reviews with Ben Kirkwald and Tim Pankratz.
Yes.
We're just amazing on those.
Check it out. And our YouTube name is?
The Sci-Fi Christian.
Good. Go check us out.
Yeah, totally. So I'm really enjoying those. I'm going to reread the books over the summer. So I'm excited about that. Yeah.
I'm listening to the books on audiobook.
They're so good. So good. So, and then my other runner-up is Christopher Priest novels. Now, you know Christopher Priest because he was the guy who wrote the novel for The Prestige.
Yeah.
What The Prestige was based on. But he is such a good writer, so read his stuff.
Okay.
Less you know about it going in, the better.
Perfect. My honorable mentions, and this is going to be really similar to what I was saying earlier, I don't feel really pumped about a lot of things I'm currently viewing, which is... After we're done with this episode, I'm really going to rethink what I'm viewing. Like,
yeah.
Here's some shows I could drop, but I think I might have used the word currently into a little bit more loosely than you. Because you're, like, interested, like, excited.
I am. Everything on my list, I'm excited
about. But the things I have on my list are things that I'm just experiencing.
You're enduring.
In some ways.
Yeah.
So, like, the C.S. Lewis Space Trilogy, I'm in book one.
Yeah.
Super boring, but I'm currently into it. Like, I'm trying to read through it.
Right.
Revolution is a show that... There's just no great shows right now. Like, I like it. It's good enough that I still kind of want to know what happens, but it's not Lost. It's not like every week I just, like, when I watched Lost, I actually felt, this is going to sound strong. I know we're Christians, and so I'm going to use this word, and it's going to sound crazy.
Aroused.
I felt like blessed to be able to view this great show.
Where I thought you were going.
And so,
you probably felt aroused too.
No, that's not true. I felt like what a gift this show is.
Yeah.
And there's no shows I feel that way about,
from
right?
God.
So Revolution,
kind of like the Bible.
Once Upon a Time.
Yeah.
Another show that's okay but not great. Doctor Who.
Oh, that one should be way up there on your list. And it will be.
I think I'd like to continue to watch Once Upon a Time, but I think I might drop Revolution based on our conversation tonight.
Yeah.
Maybe even drop Arrow, even though I like that one.
I don't see what the appeal of Once Upon a Time is.
I like it. You haven't watched it since season one?
No.
Which was last year, I guess.
I think I watched the first two episodes. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, it's one where, because it's a longer season, it takes a lot for me to want to invest into 22, 24 episode seasons. That's just a huge invest. So I really have to like a show if I'm going to do that.
Good. Well, do you want to do another countdown music to get to the next
one? Let's do some more countdown
music. This one.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian Countdown on the Sci-Fi Christian.
All right, Ben. So for the top 10 here, we're not going to be able to tell what we did last time until we get to top 5. So.
Yeah. Now, I already give a little disclaimer about my original list here. For some reason, I limited just strictly to science fiction.
I remember that.
So there's no fantasy or anything. I don't know why I did that. Ben was wrong. Ben was wrong.
I think it was the first episode and you felt like there was too many to make a top 5, and so you wanted to just say science fiction only.
Yeah, but that was a dumb choice.
So now here we are.
So I'm ashamed of myself.
No, don't be ashamed.
I'm not that ashamed, but just I'm doing it right this time.
Okay, good.
Okay, you're going to give me a number 10?
Number 10.
Dune, the novel. Now, this one was on my original list.
That was high last time.
Yeah, it was number 4 on my list. But I think, you know, when I add in some other things, you know, some of the fantasy stuff I didn't have the first time, it's probably roughly where it would have been before. But yeah, great novel. If you haven't read Dune, you got it. It's a classic, and it's amazing.
Good.
Number 10.
Number 10 for me, Alias.
Really?
Yeah. Really love this show. And you're going to be sad about my... there was another show that was on the brink of 10.
Yeah.
Star Trek. Not the original series. I just... As a child, I really liked Next Generation. And I have recently enjoyed watching some of those movies, getting back in the Next Generation mindset.
Yeah.
But... Not enough to make it on my top 10.
It sucks, though.
No, I don't think we feel exactly the same on that. And so Alias, you've never watched Alias, though.
No,
so your reaction to me is not fair, because you haven't seen it. If you are going to look for a show, that because you've been talking about trying to watch a new show, just try Alias. It's on Netflix.
I guess that here's where my reaction comes from, is that it looks okay. But again, it's what I just said. It's long seasons.
Yeah, it is long.
Do I really want to invest in 5 22 episodes? Yeah, not really.
There are long seasons.
Because I'm sure there's fluff.
Another reason that this one means something to me is it was my first exposure to J.J. Abrams, who now is one of my favorite creators. Oh. And so...
Jennifer Garner is pretty good looking.
If it wasn't for Alias, I don't know if I would have ever watched Lost, to be honest.
That's true.
So
this one has a little bit of a debt there as well.
So I owed Alias.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, number 9.
My number 9 is Dan Simmons novels.
Oh, Hyperion?
Hyperion, Flashback. Terror, Flashback, Ilium, Olympus.
The Iliad?
Yeah, no, not that one. Oh. But he's just an amazing writer. I love all his stuff.
He sure is.
Yeah, so if you've never read Dan Simmons... You got some reading to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. People are going to come away from this episode with some reading to do.
Yes. And they're going to be like, I hope that they hear some of the things we're talking about and they're like, you know what? Some of the things I'm watching aren't great.
Yeah.
I need to not watch not great things.
Exactly. Strive for greatness in your viewing.
Use your time wisely, people.
Yeah. That's how you become a better person, because stories should make you a better person. That's part of what we always say here at the site.
I can't believe how much I'm about to cut from my viewing habits.
I know. You're going to have like crazy free time.
Crazy, crazy free time to read.
Yeah. You can read some Dan Simmons novels.
I'm going to read Flashback finally.
All right.
Remember when I borrowed it from you read 2 or 3 chapters?
Yeah.
I did the right thing. I gave it back. I said, I don't know if I'll be able to finish this.
Yeah.
All right. I'm ready.
Number 9.
Number 9 for me was much higher on my first list. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, it was number 2. Spider-Man.
That was number 3 of year.
I had Spider-Man listed as my number 3 all-time favorite thing. It was tied with Batman at the time.
So that's quite a drop.
Yeah. Spider-Man? I don't know. I mean... I think we talked about on the trilogies episode that I don't really love that trilogy.
Right.
This is going to be a bummer. I just purchased Amazing Spider-Man on Blu-ray because there was a sale at Best Buy. Plus, I had a $5 coupon.
Yeah.
So I got the Blu-ray, DVD, and digital video combo for just $14.
Wow.
Which is pretty good for Blu-rays nowadays.
I want to borrow it sometime.
You can borrow it tonight if you want.
Well, you just got it.
So I bought it on Saturday. Watch it Saturday. And I want you to see it. So I don't want to make you feel bad or anything. But
I'm not expecting
that. Yeah,
things.
I didn't like it as much as I did. Because I saw it in the theater and thought, this is like my favorite Spider-Man movie so far. Now I watched it again on Saturday and I didn't feel... that way.
I will borrow it. I will watch it this week, mm-hmm. and we'll return next week with my thoughts.
So, yeah, I think I'm losing my interest in Spider-Man because I don't really love that trilogy anymore, the Sam Raimi trilogy. I don't love the Amazing Spider-Man. The reason he's number 9 is I'll still see anything Spider-Man. And childhood-wise, I loved him as a child. So I still like that character. I think in the current comics, I've heard of what's going on. Do you know anything about what's going on?
No.
Spoilers for current comic books. But
isn't he dead?
Yeah, so the consciousness of Peter Parker and the consciousness of Dr. Octopus switched.
Lame.
Dr. Octopus had this plan, and so he transferred Peter Parker's consciousness into his own dying body. So right now, in comic books, the Peter Parker body exists, but it's Dr. Octopus's mind controlling it. And so he's now decided he's going to be a hero. And so he's still playing the part of Peter Parker, but it is... Dr. Octopus being Spider-Man.
That's really dumb.
Yeah, that just sounds dumb to me. I mean, maybe it'd be interesting for one storyline, but not as an ongoing... And they changed the title now, so they dropped Amazing Spider-Man, and now it's the Superior Spider-Man, because Otto Octavius believes he could be a Superior Spider-Man. Oh. So, yeah, that sounds stupid for an ongoing storyline. Obviously, they're going to change that. There's no way they can keep that going. So, it takes away from any... like, impact it has, because you know that can't be a sustainable story.
Exactly.
So I like the concept of Spider-Man, and especially from my childhood it was big to me, but nowadays I have to give it a number 9 spot.
All right.
Number 8.
A tie for me, Firefly and Buffy.
No more ties. You can't do ties. Did you see how I separate Angel and Buffy into two spots?
No, I'm not doing that.
Okay. So Angel, the Firefly, and Buffy.
Yeah, now Firefly was number two on my original list, so quite a drop. But
so at that point, you had said Firefly is the best TV show. I can't remember exact words, but basically, you thought that was the greatest show that ever had been.
Yeah, I would say that it is top five.
So it's still great, but not greatest.
The Wire would get my number one spot without question.
Give us then, just throw out real quick here. Maybe, I mean, no order, but just what do you think would be in the top five all time?
The Wire.
Mad Men, you think?
Mad Men.
Breaking Bad.
Maybe.
And what else?
Buffy.
And Firefly.
Buffy and Firefly.
Okay, that's fine.
And I'll throw Breaking Bad in there. Maybe either Game of Thrones or Breaking Bad. For the
okay, so why did you tie Buffy and Firefly together?
Well, because, you know, I've thought about putting Joss Whedon shows mm-hmm. as kind of an overarching category. But to me, there is a difference in quality. I like all his shows, but Buffy is superior by far to Angel. Firefly is superior by far to Dollhouse. So there's kind of first-tier Joss Whedon shows. Buffy and Firefly, second-tier Joss Whedon shows. Still really good, but have a few issues. Dollhouse and Angel.
Okay, good. Number eight for me.
Yeah.
Battlestar Galactica, ooh. The newer version, not the old 70s
not
version.
Not the crap version.
Yeah, I liked how it spoke to us in our modern era by using science fiction to speak to it, which I think is what science fiction has always been able to do, is speak to an audience in a way that other types of fiction can't.
Yeah.
So, because they can use these crazy worlds to speak into a current day topic. So, yeah, Battlestar Galactica, plus awesome story development. I think we had mentioned in the first episode that there are a lot of people that didn't necessarily like how it ended, but both you and I felt good about how it all concluded.
Right.
I also viewed Battlestar Galactica in a huge chunk, just watching DVD after DVD all the way through.
Yeah.
Until the very end. And then the last season I watched not on DVD because it was still on the air. So that was a good viewing experience. So, yeah, Battlestar Galactica.
All right.
Number seven for you.
Number seven for me, Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight trilogy.
Wow, nice. That I do kind of feel like that's low, but that's good.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, everything on my... like. Firefly and Buffy seem low, but it's just because everything else ahead of them is so awesome. So Dark Knight trilogy is really, really good.
Good.
You know, we've talked about this ad nauseum.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with that.
Good.
Number seven.
X-Files.
Oh, yeah.
This is one of the first real big genre shows that I got into. I was a rabid follower of the X-File mythology.
Yeah, now, interesting choice, because in our original list, I had Battlestar number five for mine.
Mm-hmm.
And on the show, I made a big deal about how I was trying to choose between X-Files and Battlestar, yeah. And I made the case for why Battlestar is better,
yes.
Based on how weak the X-Files ends.
Okay, yes.
You agreed with me back then,
yeah.
But yeah, now you have them swapped.
It's X-Files is on my mind right now. I haven't been doing this in the same way that I've done the original series of Star Trek and Twilight Zone, but... you might remember months ago, I sent you a viewing guide of some X-Files, the mythology episodes.
I haven't watched a single one.
I have watched three.
Wow.
And so it's kind of on my radar right now because you and I are planning to do some sort of X-Files episode maybe in the next year.
Yeah.
And so...
we'll promise it.
Yeah. So...
won't happen.
Yeah. So the appreciation is coming back because as I'm watching these older episodes, I think they still hold up pretty good.
Yeah. I'd say so. So I love the X-Files.
X-Files.
You're going to give me a six?
Number six.
Number six, Narnia.
Narnia.
Gotta love Narnia.
Why not?
Yeah. Especially, you know, like I said, I've gotten a new appreciation for the series now reading it to mm-hmm. Ellie. So, yeah. Narnia is awesome.
Good. Good.
Number six.
Number six for me, Star Wars.
All right. Now, Star Wars you had...
as my number five.
As number five. So, I wouldn't even make your top five this time.
No, and it was tough. And in fact, this was one of the reasons I approached you about doing 10, because I didn't feel like I could... justify leaving Star Wars off of a list.
That's true.
But I also didn't have it in my top five. So
wow.
But same reason we said last time, Star Wars is good in the original trilogy, but not the prequel. If you look at Star Wars as a whole commodity, which you don't, you just look at the canon, but
yeah.
If you look at in whole, it's not great.
That's true. That is true.
Okay.
And well, I'm just going to hold my comments on that for now.
Number five.
Now we're back to the original.
Okay,
we mentioned a few of these, but I'll say them again anyway. So my original number five, Battlestar Galactica.
Okay.
Is that in the number five spot now?
No.
No! My number five, A Song of Ice and Fire by George R. R. Martin.
The whole series so
far. The whole series, and I'm including the TV show in there. Okay. You know, everything Game of Thrones related. Just an incredible story.
I predict that Battlestar Galactica isn't even on your top 10.
You're right.
Honorable mention.
Well done.
Pretty good.
Yeah, got honorable mentions. Yeah, got bumped off. But yeah, it's A Song of Ice and Fire. I mean, you're in book two now.
Book two.
You got to admit, it's pretty awesome. Well, hey, why wasn't that on your current
I haven't started
list?
It yet. I haven't started book two yet.
But you're
I finished book one.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Wow. I thought you were like halfway through or something.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
All right. Number five for me.
Your original number five, sir.
What was
Star Wars.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, it's Chronicles of Narnia now.
Oh, right.
And I need to be totally honest here. Part of me remembering to put this on the list was your note to me.
Yes.
And the original, I'm just going to talk a little bit forward. And my original number four last time, I did try to think a little bit outside the box, and I wanted to try to look like I knew something besides just like the normal things, because I knew you'd be coming with some literature, and I had no books. I didn't just want to say Narnia.
So, this was like,
so
I can read
the best. The best I could come up with was Ted Decker.
Yeah,
but in retrospect, that's really not great. It was fun for a time in my life, but at this point, I don't think I would like it as much as I did back then.
Yeah.
So Ted Decker is not even an honorable mention for me anymore. And I've really cut back on reading his books.
That's a huge drop.
Yeah. So I've replaced it. When it comes to literature, I've replaced it with Chronicles of Narnia, which is a childhood favorite and a current favorite. Can't go wrong with C.S. Lewis. Love him.
All right. Now, I'll give you a little hint
here. Number four.
So I had Song of Ice and Fire, focusing on all Game of Thrones stuff, but primarily the books.
And your old number four?
Yeah. Well, no, that was my number five I just said. Four of my top five for my current list are all books.
I think that's good.
So my original number four, though, was Dune, the novel.
Okay, yep.
Not the movie.
What do you got now?
Now I have the novel Lord of Light.
That was on your original list. So.
It was. I think it was like number three.
The first time I ever heard it existed was on episode one.
Yeah.
And since then I've read it. So that is one I've read.
And you didn't enjoy it at first, but you came around to it, I think.
Yeah. It was tough to get into. And I think I would have been very lost if you hadn't given me a description of what it was. Because in that first episode, you did talk about like, here's the backstory. It's not really in the novel, but it's pretty clear that this is what's going on.
Yeah.
I don't think I would have thought it was very clear.
Yeah.
Because also, my reading habits tend to be
sporadic.
So, like, that reading was over the course of from March 2011 until May 2012.
Oh, yeah. You got to read it a lot shorter period than that.
So, I ended up having to go back and read the first chapter over because there's a little time loopiness in the book. And so, yeah, it was good. I think I probably gave it a 3, which isn't maybe 4. I can't remember.
Yeah, not very generous of you.
Not very generous at all. But tell us better about why you love it.
Well, you know, for everything, I'd repeat everything I said on the very first episode. I like the whole post-human concept. I like the way that it integrates religion and technology. I like the story. I like the structure. I like that it is a difficult read in some ways. I like that it really makes you think. Everything about it is just fantastic. It is one of the greatest novels of all time.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, so your original... Are we at number four?
Yeah.
Your original number four, The Circle Trilogy by Ted Decker.
Yep, not on the list anymore. I've now replaced it with Back to the Future Trilogy.
Oh, so that's moved up, but back a
little bit. Yeah, the Back to the Future Trilogy. And, yeah.
Because you had Back to the Future at number two originally.
Yeah, that was pretty high. That's too high.
Too high.
It's good, but not that good.
Yeah.
I've talked about it tons of times before. Back to the Future, liked it as a kid. Still enjoy it, but I know it's not great. I just know it's enjoyable.
Yes.
Number three.
My number three was Lord of Light originally. So moved back, but only because I'm including more fantasy stuff. So my number three, The Empire Strikes Back.
Just alone.
Yeah, to justify it, I took out that movie because you're right. You're absolutely right in what you said about Star Wars. If you include Star Wars as a whole, it doesn't work and doesn't get that high.
Okay.
Even if you include the original trilogy, it wouldn't be this high.
Wow. If you did have all episode 4, 5, and 6, where would you put it then?
Ooh, somewhere around the Dark Knight trilogy.
Okay.
I'd probably be choosing between those two, so somewhere around 7.
Okay.
But yeah, Empire Strikes Back on its own, easily one of the great movies ever made, and number 3.
Number three for me?
Number three for you. Your original was a tie between Spider-Man and Batman.
Yes. So Spider-Man dropped way down.
Yeah.
Batman is not in this spot. Okay. And remember how earlier I said you can't do ties?
Yeah. You did a tie?
Yeah, big time. Actually, I liked what you said, and actually what you said earlier is making me rethink this, but I officially titled this All Things Joss Whedon.
Oh, yeah.
So I just really like that guy, and I like his mind and what he comes up with. So we're talking Buffy, Angel, Firefly, Dollhouse, Dr. Horrible, The Avengers, Cabin in the Woods, even though there's a ton of gore and one brief scene of nudity. Still a good movie. Alien Resurrection. That's a joke. So not that one.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So maybe selectively All Things Joss Whedon.
Selectively All Things Joss Whedon.
Yes.
So, I don't know. What do you think of that? How would you rank those things I just threw out there? Like, Kevin the Woods, like I said, like for the Christian audience, they might want to know about the gore and the nudity. You love that specific part?
I'll just say I love it. Move on.
It probably wouldn't be a movie that I necessarily want to own because I don't love some of those graphic features, but I like the story he told.
Yeah. You can just shut your eyes.
Yeah.
I could watch it with you and cover your eyes.
I like that. So where would you rank? I'm going to put you on the spot here. So rank Buffy, Angel, Firefly, Dollhouse, Dr. Horrible, The Avengers, Cabin in the Woods.
Okay. Number one, Firefly. So this is going best to worst. Mm-hmm. Number two, Buffy. Three, Cabin in the Woods. Four, Dr. Horrible. Read me what I haven't done.
You haven't done Angel, The Avengers, Alien Resurrection, or Dollhouse.
Okay. Then number five, Dollhouse, Angel, Avengers, Alien Resurrection. But there's a huge, huge gap between Avengers and Alien Resurrection.
What about Toy Story 1?
That would be above Avengers.
What about the Astonishing X-Men, the year he was on that?
That would be below the Avengers, but ahead of Alien Resurrection.
All Things Joss Whedon is my number three.
Yeah.
All right. You're number two.
My original number two was... Oh, I went to the wrong screen. Just a second, everyone. Nope. My original number two was Firefly.
Yes, and today.
Bit of a drop there.
Today it is.
Today
That's
it is.
That's a huge drop. Yeah. Nine it was?
Yeah. Eight or nine, something like that, yeah. Epic poetry.
Wow, such as?
So I'm lumping a lot of things. Such as the Iliad.
And the Odyssey?
Even the Odyssey.
Those are two separate things, you know.
They are. Paradise Lost.
Beowulf?
Beowulf. The Divine Comedy. All that type of stuff. I think that if you want to be a better person, immerse yourself in classic epic poetry. Not only is it great literature, but it's also great science fiction and fantasy. Can't go wrong there.
Nice.
Your original number two, Back to the Future.
Yep, and mine is also, I guess you could say, classic literature. Again, under the banner of All Things Batman.
Huh, yeah.
So I dropped Spider-Man. They're obviously not equal. At one point in time, I thought that I liked these heroes equally.
Yeah.
Not true. Batman is by far the better. And here's what I'm encompassing under All Things Batman. The Dark Knight trilogy.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Every movie is great. The 1966 Batman, which... Isn't it amazing, but I do enjoy it, and I'm dying to own it on DVD. I just hope it comes out soon. The recent run of comics, which you haven't read, by Scott Snyder, have been some of the better comics I've read. Batman the Animated Series, wonderful show
there.
From our childhood. Current animated show called Brave and the Bold, actually now over, but this is...
I think it's on Netflix now.
Yeah, I think it is. This is at the lower end of the good things in Batman, but... It's still an enjoyable...
It's not Batman and Robin.
An enjoyable Batman. I didn't include any of the Tim Burton through Batman and Robin movies because I don't think those are bad, but I don't find myself ever wanting to watch them again.
That's even though you own them.
Not anymore. Got rid of them.
Oh, you did?
Yep.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. So, All Things Batman are my number two.
Okay.
Number one.
My number one.
All-time favorite, Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. I put Star Wars there originally, but that had to go.
I took it away.
No, you're dead right. I mean, Lord of the Rings.
You hadn't said it yet, so I was like...
Now...
You can spoil mine, too, if you want.
Well, you're just lost.
Of course. It has to be lost.
It was then, it is now.
What was your number one back then?
Star Wars.
Okay, so
Lord
yours
of the Rings.
Used to be Star Wars, mine used to be Lost, mine is still Lost, and yours is...
Lord. Well, but remember, I did my list stupid back then, so had I done it smartly, it would have been Lord of the Rings back then too. But yeah, I mean, you know, I put this ahead of epic poetry. In part, I have C.S. Lewis as my defender there, who said that Lord of the Rings was the greatest work of literature since the Odyssey.
Wow. Yeah. C.S. Lewis.
Kicking butt.
Good guy.
Yeah.
Very complimentary.
He and J.R.R. Tolkien should have been superheroes.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they are. Maybe we could write a story about that.
We could.
Okay.
That's right.
Actually, listeners, if any of you out there want to write a story about C.S. Lewis.
No. We're claiming all intellectual property for anything we just said. Okay. So now you can't steal our ideas.
Deal.
Yep. But yeah, you can't get better than Lord of the Rings. I mean, you have to read these at some point in your life.
If I get around to it. I feel the same way about Lost. You have to watch Lost.
Yeah, I've watched Lost.
No, not you. I'm just saying listeners.
Well, you don't have to.
You can't get better than Lost.
Well, okay. But I do have Lord of the Rings on audiobook, so you can borrow those sometimes.
Wait, why wasn't Lost in your top five shows?
Well, it's not that great. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But should we let you squirm away with Lost?
No, keep talking about Lord of the Rings. It's kind of interesting. We've both done episodes on our favorite things.
We have.
Makes sense.
We've done a couple episodes on
each.
Yeah.
Because you did two Lord of the Rings, Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. I did Lost Part 1 and Part 2.
I take responsibility for Lost Part 2 going bad.
It's okay.
Lost
Part 3 will be better.
Yeah. I mean, I've given Casey a lot of crap for his episode, but I got to say, I don't know if anybody's ever done worse prep on the Sci-Fi Christian than what I did on that episode. So for everybody who thinks I criticize Colby too much, I am self-criticizing and saying that I take the cake for the biggest bomb in Sci-Fi Christian
history.
You
think Lost Part 2 is the worst episode we've ever done?
I do, yeah. Wow. And it's my fault.
Okay. All right. So Lost. A show all about characters. There's some mystery in there, sure.
Yeah.
But what it's really about is the dynamic character development.
Yeah.
And it's great writing by both Damon Lindelof, Carlton Cuse, and others.
And others.
Such as the writers of the current show, Once Upon a Time.
Yeah.
Man, I want to go on and on about Lost, but all I'll say is wonderful.
I was kind of hoping that you would maybe leave this at number two or something, that maybe you'd moved on.
What would I have moved up to it?
Anything. Okay. There's so many options.
Dez is going to watch Lost with me. She said she's ready to watch it anytime, and I said, "Let's
wait till September."
Why?
What? September? Get that ring on her finger first. Get her committed.
I actually said, "Let's wait till we get married, so then we can watch some episodes before we go to bed every night. It'll be kind of like our nightly ritual. Watch some Lost." So yeah, I'm excited. So what about Lord of the Rings?
That's quite a nightly ritual.
Do you want to say anything about Lord of the Rings?
I already said everything.
Anything else?
No. I mean, when it comes to Lost, though, I listened to what I said in the original episode, and I would stand by that word for word.
When did you listen to Lost Part 1 and 2?
No. In our pilot episode.
Oh, yeah. You actually were for complimentary of Lost. You.
I said that Lost was about three things: mystery, characters, and themes. Two of those worked, one of them didn't.
So you thought the themes and the characters were great, but the mysteries fell flat.
Yes, not completely, but were not what they should have been. So I would stand by that analysis exactly.
I'll say then, for on your behalf, Lord of the Rings, great set of movies.
That's awesome.
Beautiful to look at. I don't get what's going on.
You don't?
Just kidding. No, I get it.
Hey, we watched all of those in one day.
I actually got it way more after that experience.
Yeah.
So go back. So check out our archives. You can check out Lost Part 1 and 2 from Season 1. You can talk about the Lord of the Rings trilogy. We talk all about that. I time looped it this late last year, and it was from Season 1. We've got a great Hobbit episode out there. So
yeah.
So let's do some honorable mentions.
Oh, so honorable mentions for me. I just have a couple. The rest of the original Star Wars trilogy.
Okay.
So episodes.
Makes sense.
4 and 6. And Battlestar Galactica.
Good. Wow. It really dropped on your list.
Yeah. I mean, it's good. I wouldn't take anything away from it. It's not that I've soured on it at all. It's just that there are so many more amazing things out there.
Here is my honorable mentions. A group of these, you'll agree, are great. And a group of these, we can both agree, aren't great, but have some nostalgic value.
Star Trek?
Nope. Christopher Nolan's sci-fi movies, which I would include Inception and Prestige.
What about The Following?
I've never seen that. That's not sci-fi, is it?
Little.
Isn't it just about a guy following somebody around?
Yeah.
What's sci-fi about it?
I don't think there's a lot of sci-fi.
Okay. So, Inception and Prestige.
Yeah, awesome.
Both great. Yes. The original Bourne trilogy.
I'm going to put that on my honorable mentions, too.
the original Bourne trilogy, only the Matt Damon movies. You think those are good also, right?
Yeah, but they wouldn't make my honorable mention. I mean, they're worth one viewing.
X-Men. We both liked that animated show from the 90s.
Yeah, wouldn't make my honorable list.
And now here's my nostalgic ones. Well, X-Men might be a little nostalgic. Quantum Leap and Sliders. Not good shows. I know that.
Yeah.
But I do still really like them.
Okay.
And I think that is all for me.
All right. Well done.
Wow.
Should we get to a little story time?
You have an update, right?
Yeah, this is part three.
Okay, hold on.
The conclusion of the trilogy.
Oh, is this the final installment?
This is the final installment, so I'll do a little recap.
Okay, hold on.
It's sci-fi Christian story time.
All right. So in part one, we learned that I had gotten a parking ticket at St. John's University, where I go to school.
Yes.
In part two, we learned that I appealed that parking ticket in epic fashion. And in part three, the conclusion of Ben versus the St. John's parking team.
Who was right?
Who was right? We find out. I get an email on Thursday. Subject line, parking appeal. The appeals board has reviewed your parking appeal. Your parking fine has been... Way.
Yes.
Yes. So let the record stand that St. John's Parking University, whatever they're called, their parking department has admitted that Ben is right.
Ben is right.
I am right.
Yeah, Ben is right.
Ben is right.
You are right.
I am right.
Ben is right.
Ben is right.
You are right.
All of you who have disagreed with me, get in line, because it's apology time.
Get in line, because it's apology time.
Oh, now, they didn't apologize to me, though they should have. But I feel so happy about this. Victory is mine. So don't try and ticket me. Don't try and give me, you know, parking violations, because guess what? I will appeal, and I will win, because I was right. So this has been, you know, an epic three-week adventure in story time.
Oh, my gosh, I know. Every week I've just been like, what's going to happen next?
Yeah, so.
This is pretty good.
Yeah, happy ending, though.
You know, we didn't ask the listeners this week what their favorites were. So feel free to write us in. Maybe we'll talk about it. You can write us at...
Feedback at thescifichristian.com.
Or call us.
612-4121-SFC.
Ben.
Yeah, Matt.
Let me shake your hand. No high five, because then people can hear it. Happy 150th episode.
Oh, yeah, we're doing great.
Wow, going strong. And 200 is just around the river bend.
So we're down one host.
Well,
but that might actually help us.
Who knows? We'll see. Yeah. He'll be back, I'm sure, for some guest appearances.
Nope, I'm vetoing that.
So, well, that's all from here. I am Matt Anderson.
I am Ben DiBono.
And we are the Sci-Fi Christians.
Goodbye.
Signing off.